Welcome to the March 25th recording of the CASB School Board Advocate with Matt Cook, CASB's Director of Public Policy and Advocacy. The School Board Advocate recordings are available when the School Board Advocate is published. And right now, that's the second and fourth Friday of every month. Make sure you also check out the digital version of the School Board Advocate to access information available through the links. You'll find the School Board Advocate by logging into CASB's website at www.casb.org under the Advocacy tab. Take it away, Matt.
Thanks, Leslie. So those of us who spend a lot of time at the Capitol know that the last 5 or 6 weeks are always very, very stressful, and that we like to call it the grumpy season sometimes. Legislators are trying to get a lot done, and things are not always going the way they want them. So we are heading into that part of the season. So we've got roughly 40-ish days left in order to do a pretty significant amount of work. The bulk of that work starts soon as they head into budget season. Those of you who are familiar with how Colorado does things, there is a bill called the Long Bill that funds actually all of the state budget. And then there's a separate School Finance Act, which is required by law, that actually puts some other numbers. But of course, because this is Colorado and we do things differently, there are things in the Long Bill that set the numbers in school finance. So having said all of that, as we head into the budget season, we have some pretty good news for CASB members. And we encourage you, obviously, to go and look at the School Board Advocate, the actual web page version of it, because it's got a lot of links. But basically, what it comes down to is this. The Joint Budget Committee, way back in November, had heard from their staff analysts that they thought they might be able to pay down the full budget stabilization factor this year. So that was good news. State revenues were running along. Employment was good. There was some potential to make that happen. Fast forward to March, the recent revenue forecast, which we sent out in our legislative alert last week. Hopefully you got a chance to read that. If not, it's on the CASB website. Inflation came back almost double of what they thought it would be. So we thought back in November that we'd be dealing with inflation around 3.4%. The revenue forecast said that, nope, we're going to be over 7% inflation for the remainder of the forecast. So what does that mean? Well, a significant portion of the school finance is tied to inflation plus student growth. So that means that the JBC then had to set aside additional money, not for this year, because remember the numbers, the inflation number rolls forward to the next budget year. So not 2022-23, but 2023-24, make that available. So that forced them to be not able to buy down the BS factor as significantly as they had hoped. However, good news, $250 million combined between new money on buy down on the BS factor and a prior budget supplemental. And then they also set aside $80 million to fund Senate Bill 22-137, which is an additional money for students who require special education services. That's important because that money for SPED, that $80 million, is in a bill by itself. So that means if things really took a turn for the worst, it would require a new bill to come and then take that money back. Whereas with the BS factor, they've got some more flexibility to set that every year. So really good news there. The other piece I would point out is that the Joint Budget Committee set aside an additional $300 million that they're going to put in the State Education Fund. That's kind of a reserve fund. They also use that to pay for things for K-12 when they don't have general fund dollars to pay for them. So that's a good catch there. And then finally, they have agreed to pay the $225 million to PARA, so the Colorado Public Employees Retirement Association. If you remember back to 2018, Senate Bill 200 was an attempt to get PARA fully funded in 40 years. And part of that was an additional $225 million payment every year from the state General Assembly. Well, 2020, during COVID, when things were rolling along, we were just heading into the pandemic and nobody really knew for sure what direction that was going to happen. They couldn't put that $225 million in. So they will come back this year and do that. So by and large, while we might be a little bit disappointed that the BS factor is not going to be completely paid off this year, to have it down to around $320-ish million, when just a few years ago we were over $1 billion, is a significant win for public education in Colorado. always have to advocate for more funding and appropriate sustainable funding. But I think if things shake out in the long bill and in school finance the way we anticipate, it could be a pretty good year for schools. On top of all of that, obviously, we have a few other bills that are making their way through the legislative session. And the big one that everybody's talking about is the Department of Early Childhood. House Bill 22-195 is the bill that would create a brand new state agency to deal with early childhood and the universal preschool program. So, Leslie, real quick, if folks remember back November of 2020, they voted yes on Proposition EE in Colorado. This tax put some additional taxes on traditional tobacco, e-cigarettes, and liquid nicotine products. And those taxes then are used to fund the early childhood initiatives. Senate Bill 22-1295 is a huge bill, runs to almost 500 pages. However, I think it's instinctive when you look at the bill sponsorship, who's on this bill. So both the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate are on the bill, along with longtime education supporters, Representative Emily Sirota and Senator Janet Buckner. House and Senate leadership rarely attach their names to bills that aren't a big priority for their caucus. Then, of course, Governor Jared Polis has made universal pre-K and early childhood education a significant plank of his entire agenda. Having said that, there were still significant concerns with the bill. So CASB, in conjunction with Colorado Association of School Executives, the Rural Schools Alliance, the Special Eds Directors Consortium, a number of other groups brought a number of amendments to say there are things that we want to make sure this new department has. The biggest one for CASB was the governance model. The fact that the department, as it is envisioned in the bill, would have an executive director with not an appointed board. And so you had one person making some pretty significant decisions. There's also questions around funding, how the local organizations will be organized, and some other things. So over 14 amendments have been added to the bill so far. We continue to work on that. We encourage CASB members to reach out with questions or concerns, things they would like to see as we continue to work that bill. But it has passed out of the House. It's headed over to the Senate. Obviously, if it passes the Senate, and I think it will, the governor is going to sign it. It is a huge, huge part of his plank. So I really do encourage folks to go out and at least give the executive summary on House Bill 22-1295 a read, as it has potential for some pretty significant impacts. And then a few other things kicking around the Capitol. Senate Bill 22-137 would restart the accountability system in Colorado, so to speak. This is a bill that I think negotiated with a lot of groups again, does some pretty good things and gets us back on the road to whatever post-COVID normal is going to be. So lots going on at the Capitol. The budget will take front and center for the next couple of weeks, and then it will be the sprint to the finish.
Thanks, Matt. Wow, what a busy couple of weeks, especially this week. Well, this wraps up the March 25th recording of the CASB School Board Advocate. As a reminder, too, if you want to learn more about the basics of school finance, we have a webinar on March 31st at School Finance 101, Part 2, with Tracy Rainey and Glenn McLean. They'll do a summary of the March revenue forecast as well and explain Part 2 of school finance, which is not an easy topic. Look for the next School Board Advocate recording around April 7th. And until then, have a great weekend.